Brother Titus is going to, he's got a lot of things to teach us from the first chapter of Galatians tonight. I'm looking forward to that. What would you say is the theme verse of Galatians, of the book of Galatians? Any ideas? Okay, I'm crucified with Christ. Okay, that would be a good one, fitting. Any others? Okay, that's a good one as well. Yes. Fruit of the Spirit, very, very, very fitting. I also thought of chapter 5, verse 1. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Some of you may not have read the first chapter of Galatians, I decided I will go ahead and read that. And then Titus can get right into his teaching of the chapter. So I'd like to read the first chapter of Galatians. This letter is from Paul, an apostle. I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. All the brothers and sisters here join me in sending this letter to the churches of Galatia. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. I'm shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. I say again what we have said before. If anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcomed, let that person be cursed. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his Son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. When this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to consult with those who were apostles before I was. Instead, I went away into Arabia, and later I returned to the city of Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem to get to know Peter, and I stayed with him for 15 days. The only other apostle I met at that time was James, the Lord's brother. I declare before God that what I am writing to you is not a lie. After that visit, I went north into the provinces of Syria and Cilicia. And still, the Christians in the churches in Judea didn't know me personally. All they knew was that what people were saying, the one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. What are your prayer requests this evening? I think we'll have our...
Greetings in Jesus' name tonight. The way I understood my assignment is that we're going to be looking at the book of Ephesians for the next number of Wednesdays. And my assignment for tonight is a sort of introduction, overview, and including the first chapter. I was a little startled when Lauren asked for verses that you would like to, that you think of when you think of the book of Galatians. And a lot of the verses that, or some of the verses that I had written down came up, but I'd like to open that up again. If there are verses that you think of in the book of Galatians that kind of are key thoughts, Galatians 2:20 was brought up. That's one of the things I'd like to do tonight. The churches at Galatia. It apparently is more of a region rather than a church itself. It says churches, more of a province, an area. And what all the churches are that he refers to, it might be that Galatians would have been in, it might have been that Ephesians would have been at the south part of that province. I'm not sure, or that Ephesus would have been. What are verses, favorite verses of the book of Galatians that you'd like to bring up, just sort of to set the tone for the evening? Okay, Gary?
Well, I would suggest this might be one that could be considered for the theme.
Okay. Okay.
Going along with what Gary said, chapter 3, verse 28, you can span this part as he identifies who the children of God are.
Okay. Go ahead and read it. That's another one that I had written down. Chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through the Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What would you say is, and Gary touched on this, but what would be the overriding theme of Galatians? The just shall live by faith is sort of what I'm getting at, but would there be other titles that you could give the book? Do you have your hand up, Lowell?
Faith as opposed to Jewish works.
Okay, faith as opposed to Jewish works. freedom in Christ Jesus. So those are all the... So those are all part of that this thing of living by faith. What are some of the doctrines that come through in the book? Just to get you started on that, just to give you an example, you know, here in the first chapter we have, verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Jesus Christ unto another gospel. I think one thing that the book of that we understand in the book of Galatians that we have the potential to be deceived and to be removed from the grace of God, that we could fall from grace, as one scripture says. We have the ability to be deceived.
Even in this chapter this evening,
right? Okay.
Even leaders are not immune from deception.
Okay. Okay. And it's interesting here, the subject on that, and that's chapter 2 that we're talking about. Here was a man that God gave a vision and confirmed to him that the Gentiles are also recipients of God's grace. And even a man who had that direct vision was prone to stumble temporarily lose his way, perhaps. Another thing is that verse that I read in, or those verses I read in chapter 3, that the blessing of Aaron, of Abraham, might come through the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The Holy Spirit is for every believer. The book of Galatians says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The work of the Holy Spirit is something God wants to accomplish in each of our lives. And along with that one, Christians can live victoriously. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that there is restoration for those who backslide. Go ahead, Amos. Okay. Mm-hmm. If we want to experience life, we have to experience death to ourselves, and we receive that life in Christ Jesus through the Spirit. Do we have some other thoughts as to what the conditions of the people in these churches were like? Did they get along with each other, or did they do some bickering? I do notice it says, if you bite and devour one another, 5:15, I thought I had that written down, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. So there might have been some bickering going on. And you know, in chapter 6, verse 9, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing. They might have just been tired, too. They might have been, I don't know what the conditions were. There were probably persecution. And so they might have gotten just kind of tired. And I think part of the warning of this scripture is that we need the work of the Holy Spirit. We need people who build us up so that we can hold fast and that we don't give up under the pressure of a persecution. Now, there is Well, yeah, I guess I said so far. There is another. There are two other books here in the scripture that are also addressed to the churches of Galatia. This is the way 1 Peter 1 starts out. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And I find that interesting. And in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, he talks about this, that this being the second epistle. And in the last number of verses of 2 Peter, chapter 3, it talks about a letter that Paul had written. And I didn't know whether I wanted to bring this in or later, but I think these verses are significant with what and concerning Paul's apostleship and what the other apostles had to say about him. I'm just going to read a number of verses here, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 to the end. "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of those things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away from the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And so here we have the Apostle Peter confirming and supporting the apostleship of Paul. And I think that's significant in view of the fact that it was written, in part at least, to the same group of people. It must have been a pretty deep problem that the churches of Galatians did not somehow were not open to the idea that Paul had authority to write the scriptures. Other comments about that? Comments about anything I've said so far before we get into the chapter?
I was a little curious about the name, Galatia.
Okay.
Gaul was modern-day France. Do you know anything more about why this area? Was I'm understanding it being what's now modern-day Turkey.
Oh, I read something about that somewhere. I can't lay my eyes on that. It does come from the word Gaul. And I think the Gauls would have moved from here up to where they... France, you say? Yeah, that sounds right, but I don't have anything more than that here. But it does refer to the people that were called Gauls. Now, if you think of the book of Galatians, what kind of book would you say that it is? It's at least partially corrective. And you don't have to get very far into the book before it starts getting corrective. One source that I had that I... said this about the introduction. "The letter to the churches of Galatia shows a deliberate lack of warmth. Ordinarily, Paul addresses believers as the church of God, saints, or the faithful in Christ Jesus." You would find that in Ephesians, for example. "He often expressed thanks for the Christians or praise for their virtues. Frequently, he mentioned individuals by name, but there isn't that here. There's a warmth or a person. Somehow it's not as personal. He's wanting to do some correcting here, and he gets pretty abrupt, it would seem like. We have that in chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God, the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. Another one is chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, verse 1, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? 4:11, I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. And so he doesn't seem to mince too many words on that. And so maybe with that introduction, we can go into the first part of the lesson here tonight. The first five verses is the introduction. And he seems to, from the beginning of the book, there are two things that seem to come out again and again, and that is his authority to speak what he does and the gospel of Christ. Those two things, that's what the book is mostly addressing. And he begins, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead. What would you like to say about what all Paul is saying by this verse as he comes to the churches of Galatia? What is the significance of the verse? What statement is he making about Jesus? Go ahead, Paul.
This was not a calling by man.
Okay. Okay. All right, it was a calling by God himself. What does it say about Jesus Christ here? Doesn't he affirm the deity of Jesus Christ? He says his calling didn't come from man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. We have the resurrection referred to immediately in the book. The power that... Which is the source of the power that we have available to us. Verse 3 and 4, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. And so, already here he's saying, Jesus died so that you can be free. It's starting from the beginning. Paul says, Jesus died so that you can be free. Jesus is the Son of God. He died so that you can be free. And then he goes on and says, to him be glory forever and ever. Other comments that you would like to make about the first five verses or the introduction? Okay, that brings a point that brings up a question: what situations that we come across today do these scriptures specifically speak to? I'm talking about particularly the first chapter here, Arlen, and then Lowell. Okay. All right, Lowell.
I was going to go into the false doctrine that can come up. Remember, in a situation I had on an airplane with some Mormons, and they really would have liked for me to take a look at Mormon. This man would have, and if I could just read it with an open mind, I think God could reveal things to others besides just, God at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I wasn't aware until a number of years ago that there, well, I guess I was still with the youth group, so that was quite a few years ago, but I met a man in town who was walking across America. He had a stick with a bag tied to it and had wheels on the bottom, and he was hauling this around, and it's a very interesting man. And he said, the Apostle Paul is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. What he writes is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's not like the others. And I didn't have the presence of mind to read the scripture out of 2 Peter, because Peter very clearly says what Paul writes is scripture, and to neglect that or to bypass that is a grave error. All right, let's go on to the next section. That's the purpose for Paul writing, and that's verse 6 through 10. He marvels that they are so soon removed from him that called. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. I don't think I'll read the rest of that section. Lauren read that. It looks to me like there was some body, or maybe a number of people, at the Church of Galatia. Perhaps there were people that came from outside of the churches at Galatia, which came from outside of the province and stirred some things up. But I wonder if there weren't people in the church itself that kind of perpetuated the false gospel, if you could call it that. And I just think we need to understand that we have the potential of becoming deceived. And I just recently I've been just come aware that, you know, the thing, truth and error, when it comes down to it, look an awful lot alike, or they can. And we need the discernment of the Spirit of God to discern between what is true and what is false. I've looked at myself and I've wondered, you know, what is to keep me from going after another gospel? I don't think we need to be scared or fearful about those things, but I think we need to be aware that we have the potential of turning our backs on Jesus and to hearing wrong voices. Now, verse 8 and following, he uses some pretty strong language. It says, "For though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be cursed." What do you make of that? I remember we went to hear a speaker on the cults. That was also back when I was with the young folks. A man by the name of Walter Martin, he wrote a book, The Kingdom of the Cults. I don't know how many of you would be familiar with that. But he talked about the authority of the Scripture and the certainty with which people who wrote the Scripture, the certainty with which they wrote it down. And Paul is saying a pretty impressive thing here. He's so sure that if even he himself would preach something else, or an angel from heaven, notice he doesn't say angel from God, He says, let that person be cursed. And I think the idea here is, let that person or that being be cursed of God. That's some pretty strong language, but the authority of the Scripture is something that God wants us to rest in. He wants us to know that this is written by God Himself, and that it's safe to trust the Scripture. Comments about that, Ollie? In my mind, that's kind of what he's saying, yeah. And, you know, I think part of the thing that he's getting at, too, is that sometimes the things which are false look pretty close to the truth. And we need the discernment of God. We need the Spirit of God to show us right and wrong. Paul. Well, I think that's probably getting into the people who have the next topics territory. I don't think I'd be stealing too much thunder if we would talk about that a little bit. But what in your mind is the other gospel that? And that it would probably be good to bring that up in here. What were the churches in Galatia doing that was taking the place of the true gospel? Nathan? Okay. Okay.
But essentially, they had gotten away from the basic power of God to save them and change them.
It was Jesus Christ and something else. And you looked like you were just about had something to say, David, or what, didn't you? Well, it's possible that Paul was the one who established these churches, or at least helped them get established. We read of Galatia and in a number of places in the book of Acts. And perhaps he, as the founder or the spiritual father of these churches, maybe he had an intimacy with the people that allowed him to speak forthrightly. I don't know. Maybe there are other people who have that. Maybe there are those of you who have a little better idea on that. I don't know. It was a form of Judaism that was, you know, you have to be circumcised and there is the allegory that he refers to about Abraham's two sons, and he uses the law to bring these people back to the point of the law, and that was the Spirit of God and Jesus Christ who sets us free from the law. Yeah. Is there any other comments that you'd like to make about what the other gospel was?
Was Gnosticism popping up at this point yet? Or it sounds almost as if he's at least partially addressing it in the very first verse, where he asserts the bodily resurrection of Christ.
Oh, okay. It's possible. I couldn't tell you on that, but the resurrection is very central to the gospel message. You have other comments on that, Paul, then? Okay. All right. The next section has to do with Paul's defense of his ministry, of his message and his ministry. And that is from verse 11. We'll go to the end of the chapter here. It was not according to man. It was given by revelation of Jesus Christ. That's verse 12. So what about verse 13 and 14? Why is that in the section of where he is justifying his writing what he does about Judaism, if you please? Why does he write about his zeal in the Jews' religion, as it says here in verse 13? Why is that here in this section? Now, okay. One thing that I came across, it was kind of a new thought to me. You know, he didn't put this thing of keeping the law in his gospel. And he writes this because he wanted them to know that it's not because he was ignorant of the law. He knew about the law, and he deliberately left it out. He received some revelation that superseded the law. Maybe there's some additions to that opinion too. Okay, and we read that in verse 16 and 17. And it pleased God who separated me from my mother. I'm going to have to slow down here. But it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Now I'm assuming after his Damascus Road experience is when, after his eyes were opened in the interaction with Ananias, that it was after that he was in Arabia for 3 years. Maybe, is my order of events here approximately right? I wonder.
You say he was in Arabia for 3 years?
I think that's what it says there, doesn't it? Let's see. Verse 3. Yeah. But I went into Arabia and But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus, and after 3 years. Well, it doesn't say that he was in Arabia 3 years. It was after. Yeah, I had in my head as I was reading that he was in Arabia 3 years. I'm not quite sure now in this other reading now where that 3 years began. But I don't know what happened in Arabia. Anybody have some ideas? Nathan. Well, you have. I think what you're referring to is 2 Corinthians 12. There he talks about a vision that he had, whether it was in the body or out of the body. He didn't know. God knows. And I wonder if it was in this time, right after his conversion, that he was where he was by himself, that he received some of these revelations. I don't know. Maybe that's speculation. I'd kind of like to think that would be my limited observation on that one, I guess. I think God reveals himself to those who seek him, and I think Paul was an illustration of someone who sought God, and God revealed himself to him, and it was in a way that was clear to Paul that it was of God. That's what I'm thinking, and it was because he was of God speaking to him in that time that he was able to speak boldly because of the revelation that was given to him. And it wasn't until later that he spoke to James, the Lord's brother, and in chapter 2 you have James, Cephas, or Peter, and John, verse 9 of chapter 2, who did give Paul the right hand of fellowship, is what it says here, to his ministry and his position. Shane. Okay, that's a good point. Oh, okay.
I'm not sure.
That's a good point. I like that idea. Well, I think this is about all I've got. Are there any other comments that you would like to make about the first chapter of Galatians? Harvey. In order of events? No, I couldn't. I looked at that and I wasn't quite sure what happened and when. I'm supposing there are people who've done that, and I'm not sure of my order of events here at all. Okay, well, I thank you for your attention and your help. I think the thing that I want to take home from the scripture here tonight is the authority of the scripture, and it is safe to trust the scripture. It is safe to trust what the Apostle Paul writes. It is safe to trust the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you.